Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be a special night with you, Lord, that your anointing is going to be upon us, Lord. And everybody mute your phones, please. We're going to be aware of your leading tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that does that. He leads us into all stuff. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight your testimonies to your glory, praises to your glory, Lord, are going to come forth, Lord, and we thank you for that. We just thank you tonight's going to be a blessed night with you, Lord, and we praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a exciting week around here. The Lord has given many confirmations of things that are going to happen, as you've probably listened to on the Bible study. David talks about them just almost every on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And so, with that, let's go ahead and open up and see if anybody has any prayer requests or would like prayer at this time. All right, let me pray then, because I'd like to pray about something, Father. I just would like to ask that you give each one of us wisdom and understanding into the things that you're getting prepared to do across this world. And I ask for your protection upon all of your chosen people, that you move them to places of safety, that you would encapsulate them in your safety, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us dreams and visions to tell us what to do and how to do it, Lord, because we're nothing without you, Lord. We have to be led by your Spirit, Lord, because we don't know what to do. All we know is you, Lord, and we know that you're going to care for us, you're going to take care of us, and provide for us and protect us, Father. And we thank you for the wisdom and understanding that you're giving each one of us. Give us dreams, Lord, and visions to understand what you want us to do and how you want us to do it, Lord, and things to tell the brothers and sisters out there what's going on, the revelations that you're giving us, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for your protection all across this world, Lord, for your chosen people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else?
Michael, I'd like to bring up several relatives and friends in the area whose homes are being threatened. They've evacuated. Some of the folks I know evacuated Friday, and they have, to my knowledge, haven't been able to go back. I know their roads are still closed, so. Anyway, they just wanted me to bring up their situation, their homes, for other folks to help pray, lift them up in prayer. And I like what I'm hearing, because people are starting to look at, the priorities change when your home is threatened and you don't have insurance and all that kind of thing. So,
amen.
I think it's really good, because people are, they're a little distracted from the entertainment cycle and, you know, all the other things.
Yeah, that'd be good, Malcolm. Go ahead.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here. I pray, Lord, that we'll be walking with you in these judgments that are happening. I do pray, Lord, that you'll give us words from your throne for people around us, encouraging them to turn to you, and encouraging them to make you their total focus. And I just pray through all these things that you will cut through all the religious garb and all that is not of you. And I just pray for your elect, Lord, whoever they are, that you will sustain them and encourage them and help them during this time. And for those and the people, so many people concerned about their homes, I just pray, Lord, that you will grant them a just increasing focus on you as the only source of help, that they'll no longer turn to the help of men and depend on the firefighters and agencies that are there to help. I just thank you for working all this out and bringing your elect to yourself, Lord. I pray that we will be working with you in this whole process and not hindering but helping. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for preserving your true disciples up there, Lord, and their property. We praise you, Lord, that you're going to do that, and it's going to be a testimony to the people. Look at here. God has done this for them. He'll do the same for me, Lord, and we thank you for a revival breaking out up there. We're looking for the time, Lord, when all of us come together in prayer, because we know, Lord, that you are real. I've longed for the time when we go into a prayer meeting, there's Jehovah's Witnesses, there's ex-Catholics, there's Baptists, there's Church of Christ, there's all kinds of people of the Lord brought together in one accord. Lord, we look for that revival. We thank you, Father, that it's on the way. And like Malcolm is experiencing up there, Lord, when there's tragedy and there's danger, people do come together and they pray, Lord, and they get their eyes focused on you, Father. And that's the reason for the things that are fixing to happen, Father. We know that. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to bring a lot of folks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Malcolm. All right, anybody else?
Mike,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this whole process, and a lot of people have left the cities and the coastlines because of all these warnings that have been going on for many years. And it's interesting that these fires are affecting all these people that have taken off for the woods, whereas the people in the cities are largely untouched other than they get smoky environments. But it seems like judgment starting at the house of God, at least in this area.
Amen. It's bringing them together too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I'll say a quick prayer here.
Yes, sir.
My Lord, we're seeing all the startings of possible judgments coming out of the United States and our neighbors and our family and loved ones that are in danger possibly because of the areas they're living in. Lord, give us the time now to act bold in our faith and to share the gospel, to talk more about you, to bring you light to the lives of others that need to hear it. Give us the boldness, Lord, to stand in the gap. Give us the boldness, Lord, to be who we need to be as disciples, to be a voice for you. Let us hear your voice clearly. Let us see what we need to say and how we need to talk to people. Lord, allow us to come together, like Michael's saying, in unity. Allow these barriers to start coming down, Lord. Get rid of these religious denominational spirits that are hindering your work, Lord, so we can come together in faith. I know there's going to be terrible times. They're going to really drive people in the worst conditions to do this. Lord, give us also the understanding if we go through these things, it's not because you're punishing us. It's because you're molding us and shaping us to be who we need to be. Lord, allow us to understand bad times aren't necessarily meant to break us down so we don't have no hope. They're there to bring us into your kingdom so we know that we can work with you and trust you and work with all that you're going to give us. There's many examples of stories of the Christians that have gone through many sufferings for your name, Lord. Help us to endure that if that's what you have in mind. But give us the understanding, Lord, and please guide us through these times too. Help us guide others when they have to go through these times. that we can have them, give them a hope they need to see the light here, that you're the light, Father, that you're the light, Jesus, that we need in our lives. We pray this, Lord. We desire you wholeheartedly in our lives and in our lives of others. So I say this out of sincerity, that we love you, we need you. And all our life depends upon you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else would like to pray or ask for prayer? You know, when we come in agreement with the Word, the Lord trusts us. The Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God can say that because the Word is trustworthy to God. If you fill up with what you desire earnestly to walk in agreement with it, God says you're trustworthy then. And I believe that. I believe if you stay in the Word and you abide in the Word and you understand what the Word is saying, you understand the promises, praise God, you're going to walk that miraculous walk that Jesus walked, and more so in the days ahead. Praise God. I just wanted to exhort you to get into the Word and understand and learn what faith is and acting on that faith is. Praise God. Because just like Malcolm was talking about, people are going to come out of these, you know, just think of it this way. I was thinking about this actually this morning. If the banks do close, you're going to see complete pandemonium. You're going to see people going completely nutso. But the Christians are not going to be nutso. They're going to be lost in the arms of Christ. They're going to know God's going to take care of them. They're going to understand that. They're going to be in that rest, praise God, that God has offered to us. Rest in the knowledge that he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us in these days ahead. We don't have to worry about all this stuff. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening right now. The world financial situation is going down the tube right before our eyes. But God's financial institutions are solid. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, here, let me just tell you what we've, who was it? Belinda had a dream just yesterday, I believe it was, that she saw God's people walking around with money hanging out of their pockets. And that doesn't mean that they're just going to have money just everywhere. It just means that any time that they put their hands in their pocket and they need something, God's going to come through. That's what it means. I can't tell you how many times over the last 4 years since I've been here that money has multiplied in my billfold or in my pocket. And it's just... that's the way God does. If you need the money, it's going to be there. If you need the food, it's going to be there. If you need protection, it's going to be there. I remember a dream that Sandy had about all of us in a house, or some of us in a large house over when we lived over in Sweetwater, in that large big old house out there. And Sweetwater was under martial law, and there were foreign troops all up and down the streets. And God showed her through her eyes. She was looking through one of those soldiers' eyes. That house was completely gone. It looked like an empty lot there, she said, through those people's eyes. God can make you invisible to the enemy, to the beast, to the world. He can do that, and he will do that for those who believe, those who are abiding in Christ. He's going to do that in the days ahead. So many things that God has told us concerning these end times days. That, man, I tell you what, it just makes me excited. I get so excited when I think about the things that God's going to do with his people. Translations, gosh, people going to have that anointing of translating in different areas and preaching the gospel. Listen, I heard about a guy, I don't remember where it was. It might have been Michael Montana was talking about, I believe, Michael. About the guy that knew all the, well, he was in here, that the guy that knew the languages when he needed to know them to talk about Jesus. Remember that? Just a common guy. But when he had to talk with a Frenchman, he'd learn French. God placed it in his heart. And that's miracles. Man, that's just miracles. Praise God. Then he translated David over into some Eastern European nation in a church over there to preach the word. Didn't have a clue what he was preaching, but the people there did, and they were just going wild. Praise God. And then God brought him back home, put him back to bed. That's the kind of thing that God's going to do. He's going to do these same types of miracles. Praise God. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about y'all, but I am looking forward to it, because God is going to be so exciting in the days ahead. He's already exciting, but it's just going to get even better. When it looks like all hell has gone out and around us, that's when God can really do miracles. When we're at our weakest, he's at his strongest, right? Amen. Anybody else need prayer or want to pray?
Michael?
Hey, Gano.
I was just wanting to share something. I guess maybe not the time.
It's perfect timing.
I was just going to share some things that the Lord has been speaking to me. I guess so much of the time, I think I get down on myself, and so this may help someone else too. I don't know. Yesterday, he was speaking to me that I am to speak who I am in Christ, and what he said was, never tire of speaking who you are in Christ. Getting it in your spirit will lift your spirit and defeat any enemy that comes to put you down. Knowing who you are and whose you are is a powerful weapon that you must use with the authority that I have given you. It gives you boldness to speak in agreement with my promises, the promises for you in my word. It also gives you confidence and assurance that I have made you worthy to receive all my promises for you. Any voice speaking condemnation is not me and must be rebuked and cast out. I've given you everything you will ever need to be an overcomer. Know that with me, you will be victorious in whatever trial you face. Fear has no place in your life. Go forth in confidence in me and boldness to make decisions that will be in agreement with my word. And the word that I got was from Joel chapter 3, and my finger was on verse 13. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread ye, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdrew their shining. And the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people and a stronghold to the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And I just thought that was an awesome scripture to get after the words that I received. And I think it's probably been a couple weeks ago. It was just really quick. It was just like just when I woke up, the vision that I saw, I don't know whether it was a dream or a vision, but it was like Marlon and I were going out of our lane. We were on foot, and down the road ahead of us, there was a group of people, and the only thought in my mind was, we're going into the wilderness, and there wasn't anything else to it. That's all that I felt. And then on the 21st, I guess that would have been, I don't know what day of the week, but anyway, I had a dream, and I just think it really basically comes to that same point, really the last part of it, and I guess I don't need to share all of it, but the final scene of this dream, there was a little girl that was in our midst that she wanted to go ride a horse, And so I was going to take her out to the pasture to go see if we could see some horses out there that I thought would be there. And when we got out there, I just saw this majestic white horse that looked to be like 20 foot tall. And there was just a valiant warrior atop this white horse. And he had like the helmet that I see that Roman warriors wore, the metal with, you know, kind of the spikes going up, whatever. And he had a really long saber. But the thing that was really striking to me was he had on a bright red robe that, for as big as this horse was, this robe also came all the way down to the ground on the size of this horse. And, you know, it was not, it was just a majestic sight, and it was not a fearful thing. And I just felt that it was like this warrior was there to protect God's people. And anyway, I guess that was the main thing I wanted to share, you know, on that part of it. And also today, the word that I got was just, you know, urging us to continue to pray for those who are the Lord's people, you know, to just pray that he give them boldness. And then the scripture that I got was from Amos, and it just really got me into that the whole thing. And I was, you know, looking up all about the Amorites, and I just could see, reading the things that I read about it, that they're just a parallel of the people of America these days. They're just, they had idols, and I think Moloch was their god, and I could just, it just seemed to me that the parallel was just right there. And they should have been siding with Israel, but they didn't. They were always against them. And in the end, and I can't remember if it was Ezekiel that predicted that they would be completely destroyed, and of course they were. But anyway, it just really took me into a big study this morning, and I just didn't really want to get out of it. It was really interesting, and that was really all that I wanted to share. But I just I know when we go to the Lord and we want to spend time with him, he will draw us in, and he will just give us understanding and a comfort that we don't need to fear, because in the scriptures that I've been getting, it's always been where I've put my finger down, it was pointing to he's going to bring trials to those who are rebellious because he wants them to turn. And that's where we are right now in time. And but then it says, and he heard their cry. He heard their cry. So he heard their prayers, and he was with them. He gave them grace to turn, those who were his, at least. And I just think his word is really awesome. And if we're truly seeking him, he will be there to give us a confidence in him and not to rely on ourselves, because we are nothing without him. And I just thank him for his word, and that he's never too busy to just come and talk with me and walk with me and be there to lift me up when I get myself down. And I know that that's one thing that is a sin, to not battle against those spirits that would put you down. And he has really encouraged me to continue to speak the words that he says about me, and not to dwell on what the enemy would say about me. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Blessings to you all.
Yeah, well, that's a key there, is we don't dwell on the past. We dwell on what the Lord has told us. We call those things that are not as though they were. We are sinless. We walk a perfect life with Christ. Praise God. Yes, and I did want to ask you a question. Now, that dream or vision you had about you and Marlon walking into the wilderness, did you feel like that was very close?
I really did. And I guess for the words that I've been getting, I always ask the Lord for words every morning. And I have gotten that so many times. It's like, you know, right now, we're in daylight right now, but the time is short. It's very short. And I have gotten that so many times. And just like in the scripture, it was talking about, you know, the sun darkening and all that, the sun and the moon. And I've gotten that so many times. I really believe it's very, very soon. And that's why it's just so important that we continue to lift up God's people who may not be walking with him right now, but our prayers, he hears them. I can't think how many times I've gotten verses. He hears our prayers, and that's really so encouraging that we can trust him. He knows the desires of our heart, and it's important that we do that in obedience to what he calls us to do.
Amen. And that large white horse and that warrior with the long saber.
Yeah.
That sounds
really
quite
a sight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really quite a sight.
Yeah. Well, there could be the man-child coming in, the long saber being the word of God spoken out of his mouth, judgment coming out of his mouth from the word of God.
Right.
You know, red robe signifying the blood of Christ coming on, you know. Here we go. Oh, praise God.
You know, when I first saw the red robe, I was thinking, yeah, but the horse should have been black, shouldn't it? But no, it was truly white. It was very white.
And, yeah, well, that's the white horse rider is the man child.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one other time, this has been several years ago, I had seen a huge white horse, too, and that made me think of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's been quite a few years ago that I had that. But this was just very striking because the other part of my dream wasn't bright like this, because this was bright daylight. The other part of my dream was like in an apartment complex and it was dark. We had the shades were pulled. But when I opened the shades, there was, I guess it was a fence. Some people maybe would call it a kennel or whatever, where they put dogs in. And there were some dogs in there. There was a Doberman and there were a couple of those just little yippy lap dogs running around in there, but they were enclosed in this fence. They weren't running wild and loose, you know, they were enclosed. But when I got out to where this pasture was, it was bright. It was brightness. There was no darkness there at all. It was just, you know, like the sun was shining bright there. So it was a totally different atmosphere than what was in the house or the apartment where we were. So I don't know. I wish that I knew more about what everything meant, but I don't. Not at this point, anyway.
Amen. Thank you. I sound like something's happening. Something fitting to happen.
I believe it is. I believe it is. Yeah.
Something fitting to happen. Yeah. We. Go ahead.
No, that was all that I was going to share. I just, I guess I just would have to say the Lord is just really encouraging me whenever I'm in his word. You know, even if I go and I'm kind of, you know, kind of in a negative thought or whatever, he always picks me up. And I just thank him for his word. And I thought that verse from Joel, you know, where it says where the harvest is ripe, I thought, you know, that's talking about now.
It is. And I had a dream many years ago of a cotton field. I'm talking about a cotton field as far as the eye could see. And the cotton pickers were up on the end of the row getting ready to start up and start this harvest up. But out in that cotton field were Roman Greco columns, and at the top of those columns there was fire coming out of it. I didn't understand that for many years until I came up here and got to talking with David one day. And I said, you know, I had a dream one time, and I told him the dream, and he said, oh, right away. He said, oh, that's the beast coming against God's people to bring revival. I said, well, praise God. It works for me, man. You know, I struggled with that for years, but David hit it right on the button. And that's where we are right now. Those cotton pickers are started up, they greased up, they're ready to go. We're going to see a revival like we've never seen before in the history of mankind. Praise God, because of the judgments that are coming. Just like Malcolm was talking about, this judgment that's coming is going to bring people together in prayer. They're going to be praying for help. They're going to be praying for God's protection. They're going to be praying that God would help them. that they don't care what, you know, if they think that you know God, they're going to come running. They, if they know that you've got a light on you, they're going to come right straight to that light, and they're going to be repenting from everything they've ever done, and they're going to come into the kingdom and be a godly man and woman of Christ.
And that is a gift from God. That is really a gift from God. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
Ain't nothing that I had. Okay. Thank you, Gaynell. That was great.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Michael.
Yes.
Michael, this is Malcolm. I just wanted to share something that I think many of us will be faced with, this kind of situation.
Okay.
But when you know, these disasters happen and the whole community and county and state is impacted, the different folks that kick in are Red Cross and FEMA, Homeland Security, and for those who want to help, one path is to join CERT, which is a kind of a generalist. They get kind of generalized training, and they get their training from FEMA's website, and they've got online courses, and then training also locally. Of course, as you know, the other options are ARES, A-R-E-S, or whatever, however you pronounce it, and RACIS, which is helping the military in communications when the president shuts down amateur radio service. So it's just, if somebody wants to help in a community, those are kind of some of the options. And it just seems to me that we want to be having discernment and hearing the voice of the Lord as to what path to choose. And I don't think there's anything to be afraid of. I'm just saying that these are different things that I think we're all going to have to face at some point.
Amen. The biggest priority right now in a believer's life is to fast and pray and ask God where He wants you, and to understand and to know that God is talking to you. We all have to understand that small, still voice that comes inside of us and says, do this or do that. And that's God speaking to us. We need to know that. We need to get real close to God. Absolute surrender is the way Andrew Murray put it. Absolute surrender to Christ. An absolute surrender to Christ is doing exactly what He wants you to do. Not what you want to do, but what God wants you to do. That means getting rid of all of the idols and all of the things that have distracted our walk with Him, and just throw it all away, get it out of the way, and start focusing on the Lord. I like what Tim does every morning. He gets up, he's studying in the Word, and God takes him different places all over the Word, but he's in the Word, and he's learning the Word, and the Word's getting in him, and that peace and that surpasses all understanding comes upon you when you do that. Amen. Praise God. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Praise report.
Please, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Slade. How you doing, brother?
Been doing great. But anyway, when she was talking about the white horse and the red robe, it brought my attention to Revelations 19 and 11 through 13. Can I read it real quick? And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So that was that. But, it just, you know, brought that to my attention when she was talking about that, what she saw and everything.
Yeah.
And that would be, you know, the imminent return of Christ. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was Christ in us. That's going to be Christ in the man-child that does that. He's the one that is coming next. He's the one coming in the flesh. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's
one more thing,
great.
One more thing.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, they was talking about the wildfires and all. Well, you know, on Fox News, you know, it had an article, wildfires raging in Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and California have officials in the drought-plagued western states struggling to contain the flames. But then it's got four things beside it, saying Washington State sues florists who refuse to provide flowers for same-sex bidding. Idaho to pastors performed same-sex marriage or face jail time. And then Oregon orders baker to pay $135,000 to lesbian couple for refusing to bake wedding cake for same-sex marriage. Also, gag orders bakers to prevent from speaking of their Christian faith. So where all these wildfires are, it looks like the judgment of the Lord is, you know, showing there. So it's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, that's it. Love you all. Enjoying it.
Okay, Slade. Good to see you again, brother. All right, anybody else would like prayer, testimony, praise report, or comment?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
All right, got a couple comments.
Okay.
Now, just what Malcolm was saying as far as, you know, when disaster comes or the shaking comes or whatever it is, when we had that tornado come through here and trees are laying in the street and all the, there's nobody had any power and you know, there was trees on cars and all kinds of things, and nobody was in watching television or on the internet or anything like that. Everybody was out of their house looking around, and it was an awesome opportunity because everybody was seeing the destruction or whatever. But I was really seeing that's where the church is going to be. It's going to be in the streets, ministering to the neighbors and praying for the neighbors. When that thing hits, you know, there might not be power or whatever it is, but I really think that, you know, it's, you know, church is going to be in the streets, praying for the hurting and that. So I was kind of reflecting on that, what Malcolm was saying. So.
Well, absolutely, Tim, the ministry has always been in the streets, in my estimation. The people in the church don't need Jesus. They've got their own religion. It's the people in the street that need Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. And when the church isn't raptured out, there's going to be a lot of questions.
And woohoo! Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome opportunity.
Yes, it will. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of questions, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for those who love the Lord, truly love the Lord, and it's going to be bad for those who don't. All right. Do you have something else you want to share?
Well, I can kind of share what's going on as far as in my family right now.
Okay.
So, basically, I got a text. I shared it on the, I think I shared it on the last conference, but did I or not? No, maybe not. Basically, what happened was I got a text, and it was from my sister, and it was, you know, pray for my mom. You know, she felt this is it. Because she's, you know, she's in hospice, and she was actually diagnosed, I think it was close to a year ago. You know, they gave her a month to live, and I think she's got lung cancer and, you know, cancer throughout her body or something. And I was up there and I waited on the Lord, and then, you know, I was going to go up there at one point, and the Lord said, no, wait. And I finally went up there, and this was the first time, and she accepted the Lord. And I got her a Bible, and I gave her one of David's books. And honestly, I mean, she probably, I don't know, but more likely than anything, she probably didn't even open it up. and but I don't know that, and you know, but she was searching, she was asking me, you know, a lot of good questions at that time. And then so about a year ago they gave her a month to live, and you know, so I've just been praying for her, and I'm just saying, Lord, don't take her until she's right with you. And now it's going on about a year, and she's back in the hospital, and things aren't, you know, looking real good. And my sister called me and says, hey, you know, pray for Mom. I think this is it. And I prayed for her, and I started praying for my sisters. And I got with Michael and David, and we just prayed. And I said, Lord, just do something miraculous. You know, just let this glorify you. I'm praying for their salvation. And, you know, just allow them to see you in this whole situation. So, I just kind of, you know, prayed for her, turned it over. And that was on, Friday. Saturday, I didn't hear anything. And I text my sisters, how you doing? Give me a call. And really didn't get a response other than my older sister, who's the Catholic, that asked me to pray, which was the first key is, she was the one that called me and says, pray for Mom. And then she says, Mom's doing good, or Mom's doing better, keep praying. And so I still didn't hear anything. And then Sunday, I finally got a call from my younger sister. And she started sharing with me that when my mom went on, they had her on medication, but she was still in just agonizing pain. And that's when she texted to pray. And right after that, I was praying for comfort and the pain to go and that. And she said that my mom just, you know, totally, she saw everything change. And then the next day, she was up and she was actually had a sense of humor, was laughing. She was making jokes, stuff like that. And during that day, she had a few things happen that my sister shared with me. Is at one point she looked at my sister and she said, I signed the paperwork and they cut off my right hand. And then right after that, a priest walks in the door and wants to, because my other sister had told her, you know, told the hospice that she was raised Catholic. So he came in to give her last rites or whatever they do, anoint her with oil. And my little sister, who's not the Catholic, said she just had this disdained look on her face at first. And then when he walked in, she says, I'm Alberta Jean. And he says, I know, I've got your paperwork. And she said, you're not going to make me sign it, are you? And he's like, he kind of looked at her and said, no. And my sister was kind of, thought that was kind of weird. And then he came in and she just had this disdained look. And he asked, you know, to pray. And, she, you know, so he prayed over her, did whatever he did. And, you know, but my sister knew she was very uncomfortable with that. Then she said later in the day, Basically, both my sisters and their husbands were there and some friends were there. And there was about eight people around her bed. And this pastor came in and he came in and says, hey, you know, would you mind, you know, if I prayed with you? And my mom said, that would be lovely. And he's like, wow. He said, the other day you threw me out of here. So he saw the change in her. And so he said, well, let's all hold hands and pray. So they were standing around the bed. Everybody held hands and bowed their head. And all of a sudden, my mom, real serious, pointed at his face and says, before you pray, I got one thing I got to take care of. And she was like real serious and had her finger in the pastor's face. And she said, I've got a bar tab that isn't paid and I need to take care of that. And most of them kind of laughed at that and was like, you know, from that. But what I was really seeing is our life growing up was all about drinking. And when she said that, it was like, you know, it kind of struck something in me. So when I hung up with my sister, I text her back and I says, "Hey, tell Mom that Jesus is taking care of the tab. He paid it in full. Let her know that." And, you know, it was pretty awesome as far as that. But the neat thing about the whole thing was that they were giving the glory to God. And my one sister isn't saved. My other sister's a Catholic, and they were seeing the answers to prayer. And then she shared another story with me. I've got a cousin, and he's the kind of last child in his family. And his dad, which was my uncle, his mom, his older brother, and his younger sister all died because of alcohol. And he's the only one left in that family, and he's an alcoholic. And this year, he lost his younger sister, my cousin, and she drank herself to death. And the year before that, she lost her mom and his brother. And his mom, basically, same thing, or, you know, everything shut down. It was just his brother died in a hotel down in Mexico, and he basically drank himself to death. And so he's been dealing with this curse. And my sister had called him up, says, "Hey, you better, why don't you come over and see Mom? Because, you know, I mean, she doesn't have much time." And he told her, says, "I can't do that." And this guy is a big, burly, I would say kind of a cowboy, tough guy. He said, "I can't do that." He says, "I can't look at another sick and dying person." He said, "I just can't handle that." And I found out, and the other thing was, is, you know, this year he lost his wife to lung cancer from smoking. So, you know, he buried his little sister and his wife this year. And he was just at a point where he was a broken man. And he said, I can't do that. And so, you know, she just, you know, didn't say anything. I've been praying for him. Right before my mom went into hospice, my sister ended up taking her back home for a day. And she had just brought her in. She had the garage door open, and she went out and sat in a table out in the garage. And she saw a truck go by, and then it backed into the driveway, and it turned out it was my cousin. And he said he just happened to be in the neighborhood, and he just wanted to drive by and see if the house was up for sale. And he looked in, he saw my sister in the garage. And so she said, "Well, Mom's in the house, can you go, why don't you go see her?" And he says, I just can't do that, you know. So she said, "Well, why don't you come sit in the garage? Let's talk." So they sat in the garage for about an hour and talked, and then eventually he had to go use the restroom. And my mom's mind isn't totally there. And she's got like a type of dementia where she doesn't remember in that. So he ends up, he had to use the restroom. He walks into the house. She was laying on the couch. And she called him by first and middle name, you know, Gary Francis. And my sister said she went over he went over to her, and they talked for like a half hour, 45 minutes. And she talked about just old times and her parents. I mean, just all these things. It was like her mind was just sharp. And she said that when my cousin left, he had a smile on his face. And I just saw that the Lord used my mom to administer to him. And it was kind of neat because he was changed when he left. So, and just to add to that story, the neat thing was, is I got a text, and it was asking me to pray for my cousin because his dog ran away. And so now the family's called again because they've seen the answer of prayer. And they're asking me to pray for my cousin's dog, you know. So I just see the Lord is just moving in this whole situation. And then, you know, it's just, but he's using things. I mean, there's other things that are going on. I mean, she's, you know, when she's kind of, you know, a little delirious, she's talking to people. And the people she's talking to are all people that are dead. And, you know, it's my dad and, you know, her husband and, you know, stuff like that. So that, I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know what that, you know, how to put that whole thing together right now, but, you know, that's who, you know, when she's kind of out of it and she's just kind of mumbling and that, she's talking to these people who, you know, who have passed. And she was talking about these people, and one of the people was her mom. And it's like, where's Granny? She's always late to the party. You know, she's always looking for my grandmother. So, but the thing is, my grandmother was a very bitter woman, and I don't know, you know, if there's any tie there or anything as far as that. But the interesting thing is, when my sister called me, there was so much joy on her. She was laughing, just saying, you know, the things my mom's been saying and different things like that. There was just so much joy on her. And she was seeing God in this whole thing. And I was just giving God praise, because it's just awesome. Because I threw a fleece if I was supposed to go up there, and the Lord told me no. So he's just doing a work in them. And she wasn't supposed to make it through Saturday night. And here it's Tuesday, and, you know, she's still, the Lord's still working on her and working on her heart. So I think it's an awesome testimony. What, you know, you just keep praying for your family, just keep, you know, believing, and just let the Lord do it, and he'll do it. And he's doing it in my family right now. So Father, I just thank you for just your awesome, awesome work that you're doing in my family. I've been praying for him for a long time. I've been praying for my cousin. I've been praying that for my sister's salvation, and, you know, I just thank you, Lord, for just opening their eyes to you, to your power, to the answered prayer, for them to give you the glory. I just praise you for that, Lord, and I thank you for working in my mom, just getting her heart right, and getting her right with you, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, that she'll be right with you, and just have mercy and grace on her soul, Lord. And we just praise you for just what you're doing there, Lord. And continue to soften the hearts, bind up the religious spirits, bind up the worldly spirits, and give my family a hunger for truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great story of God's working in all people's lives. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I come against these hiccups in the name of Jesus. You leave me. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Tim. This is Malcolm here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how encouraging when you talk about your family and the ongoing saga. It's just really encouraging to hear that. How the Lord's doing that, because I think everybody here is as folks that they are praying for and concerned about. You know, I just wanted to share that. It's just very helpful when you share about your family.
Well, I just it's not me. It's just trying to just continually believe, no matter what you see. And you know, when I go up there, I mean, they're drinking and partying, and you know, I just see the curse all around them and on them, and them living in it, and it taking out, you know, this different people, and I see what they're dealing with and stuff like that, and I try to share testimonies, and they just kind of glaze over and don't want to hear it. So I've just kind of learned that the only thing I can do is really pray and let the Lord open up the door, because everything I've done has fallen on deaf ears. And I, you know, every time I try to we get so desperate that, you know, we want them to be saved. I mean, I bought my mom a Bible. I'm sure it was never opened. I bought my sister a Bible. It was never opened. We need to pray for Michael. But,
let's do that quick.
So, Father, right now, we just rebuke those hiccups. We just call them to cease now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. You are awesome. But, it's just the Lord puts us in a place of weakness, and all we can do is pray, and we can't, I always say, even with my mom, well, I could have done more, I could have called her, I could have done this, and I just know it just wouldn't have been received. And my cousin the one I lost, my youngest cousin, was basically around my age, same situation. I really didn't know she was in the shape she was in until she was actually in a coma. And, and that guilt tries to come in, that I should have done more than that. I just know the Lord's in control. So I just, all we can do is pray more, believe more, and just let him do it. So, and it might, might come down. And I truly believe that this almost year of my mom, she's been in tribulation for the last year. I mean, she's been pretty much, she really couldn't walk. She needed a walker. She needed help. She needed somebody, she needed my sister to help her to the bathroom. And it's been tribulation on my sister, who's been taking care of her, and it's been tribulation on my mom. But I think through that, I think the Lord is still working in them. And it's because it's opened up my sister, because it started to affect her marriage, and it's, she started to get anxiety and stress out and that, and there was a few times where I was able to call, talk to her, and just speak, a little bit of truth to her, ask her, I could pray with her, and I would just kind of pray. I just wouldn't push anything. And I would just suggest, I said, you should just, if you get a chance, just open up the Word and just let's let the Lord speak to you, and drop little hints, but I just had to get to the point where it's like, Lord, they're in your hands. You got to do something, and just rest and believe. And it's awesome when he does it. So and there's going to be more to come. I truly believe that. So, but thanks, Malcolm.
I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? That's good, Tim.
Yeah, I'd like to say thanks, Tim. That was good. That was.
Amen.
Well, I think we all need to be more transparent, because it's just things you guys are dealing with, the same thing everybody else is dealing with, and we can pray for each other, we can believe with each other, and then we can give the testimony when God does the work. And that's what the body's really all about.
Amen.
So, and the body's actually very small. Very small. The remnant's very small, that really wanna just, be sanctified and try to really walk in truth and be overcomers. There's not many out there that really want to do that, and that's why we got to really, that's why the enemy comes against us so hard, is because we're trying to really walk in faith and be overcomers, and he ramps up against us. I mean, the lukewarm out there, he's not worried about them, but the more you try to walk in truth, the more the enemy ramps up, and the more spiritual warfare you got to do, and that's why we need to, stay in one accord and just stay in a place where we can just, pray for each other and believe with each other. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for household salvation. We praise you, Father, for all the things that all of us have been praying about, all our family members, all those loved ones we've been praying about. Lord, we're just resting in the knowledge that you're taking care of it. And Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? In John chapter 12, verse 24, it says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit." Remember that. I'm going to tell you a little story. Martyrs of Christ are never buried. They are sown. And this is a true story that dates back to the time when North Korea and South Korea were engaged in a big conflict. As a result, Christian preachers were targeted by the communists. In such a tense situation, a group of 40 activists kidnapped a preacher, his wife, and two little children. They took them to the outskirts of the city. They forced the preacher to try to deny Christ, that he will no longer preach that Christ is Lord. But the preacher refused. They threatened him, saying that they will bury him, his wife, and children alive. But the preacher did not budge. As if to prove that they were serious, they started digging a hole right in front of him. But they couldn't get a word out of him. This aroused their anger, and they placed the four of them in the hole. Now, they begin to playing on his emotions. Because of your stubbornness, your innocent children are going to die in right in front of your own eyes. Deny Christ, and we'll leave. But the preacher did not relent. Finally, they started filling up the hole. Still, the preacher remained unmoved. The hole was filled up gradually, and now the children were about to be covered. Slowly, the preacher started getting shaky. He was torn between emotions. The cries of his little children moved him, but realizing this, the preacher's wife told him, "Within a little while, we shall all be with our Lord forever. Be bold and do not give up." And these words encouraged him, and he did not relent. As a result, all of them were buried alive. The news of this tragedy shocked many. The Christians of South Korea were shaken. Why? Why did God allow this to happen? The preacher preached about Christ. He was killed. What wrong did his wife and children do? These were the questions that rent the air. The preachers were confused and found it difficult to answer these questions. Years rolled by. Now, we're up to, this was the time of the great revival in South Korea. This was the time when that renowned preacher, Paul Yonggi Cho, was the pastor of the biggest congregation in the world. And one day during the service, a man rose up and told the surprised audience that he was one among the 40 persons who buried the preacher and his family, and he proceeded to explain the details of the gory incident. He said that he was moved by the courage and conviction of the preacher who did not deny Christ even at the point of death. He had wanted to know who that Jesus was, and in the process, he had been convicted and had accepted Christ as his Savior. Moreover, all the 40 involved in that incident had at some point in their lives been saved and were members of Paul Yonggi Cho's church. And it took many years to understand why God had permitted that incident. God had used the death of those four people to save 40 more. How many of us would still go with Christ in that type of situation there? That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and understand that he's the one that's doing it. He is sovereign, and he's got a reason behind everything. And it's not us to question. Praise God for that man's courage and that wife's courage and those two young children's courage to stay with Christ and not deny him. Because 40 more people, and who knows how many more from those 40, were saved because of that. Any comments? In the days ahead, some Christians are going to be asked to give their life for Christ. Some won't deny. They'll go to their death praising their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some will deny. But I believe every one of us here is not going to deny our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has brought the light into our lives. He's the one that's taken the bondages off of us. He's the one that has set us free from all the bondages of the world and our flesh, and still working in all of us. Well, Father, I just thank you for the boldness that you've put in each one of us, the bold faith to believe, the bold faith to have that authority that you have given us, Lord, and to declare it in our lives and the people around us' lives, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, I believe, Michael, you're tapping in something that we all should be aware of, that just because we're coming to the end times doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to suffer. I mean, we're all praying for it, to escape all these things. But if we're called to suffer, we're called to, we have to shed our life and stand up for Christ and not deny him. There might be that time where we have to do that. That was pretty prevalent all the way through the China church. When it grew, there was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of points in people's lives where they were demanded to give up Christ. They were told they have to give him up. They were told to sign this, whatever it was. And many didn't. One did, I heard about, he regretted it later, went back to prison and said, I'm not going to deny Christ. And went back, and he wasn't released till he was a very old man again. So, and Michael Montana brings up the martyrs often, and I think if anybody's had a chance to read some of the martyr books, you know, what is that one? I haven't got it up here. Yeah, Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yep.
We should probably start getting somewhat familiar with that, the martyrdom that's out there, and realize, well, you know, if it's called, if that's the Lord's calling, I mean, maybe that's, we should be prepared for that also, prepare for things. And I didn't want to bring something down on a low note, but if that's our calling, let's get prepared for whatever the Lord brings in our life.
Yep. It's going to happen here in the USA, too. I noticed also in the news that three Christians were martyred in Turkey last week. It was three preachers that got killed by some Taliban Muslim men. They went in this church pretending to be seeking the Lord, and called them or got them in there and murdered them. You don't hear a lot about that anymore. In fact, there was two evangelists killed on the streets of California back in February. You never heard anything in the news about it. They were out there on the streets witnessing, and I witnessed this young man, 18 years old. They witnessed to him for about 15 minutes until he got a phone call. The guy got a phone call and told the boys, the evangelist, that he had to go. And as the two evangelists walked away, this 18-year-old kid started walking back toward him. And they turned around, greeted him, and this kid shot him with a shotgun blast, point-blank range. And the other one started to run away, and he was shot in the back. And after he fell down, this kid shot him in the head, execution style. But you didn't hear anything about it in the national news. But if it had been, you know, Muslims or homosexuals or, you know, any of the others, it would have generated a lot of publicity, but because they were Christians, it didn't generate any. But that's the tribulation and the persecution that the Lord has asked us to go into and to withstand. You know, we read about those Chinese guys. Man, I tell you, they went through some stuff over there, and in Russia as well. Well, all over the world, except for here. There are lots of martyrs for Christ nowadays. And we need to get ours. You know what? The thing that really heartened me when I read about Boris Orosky's, the Russians that went out of Russia into China and then all the way over to Canada and eventually down here, was that every day when they came together in prayer, those peasant, common, farmer-type people in these small villages would come together in prayer. You know what they do? They wanted to be right with the Lord because their sins would be found out as soon as they got there. You know, they were trembling in fear. They had a fear of the Lord that most people, most Christians don't have anymore. And they would come together and they would pray. And God would talk to them and tell them things and tell them about the Word of God. They didn't have Bibles like we've got. We got Bibles laying around. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 over there in the bookcase right now. Probably a couple of more lying around somewhere. Man, they'd get a page out of a Bible and just get ecstatic over it because it was God's Word. They treasured it, and they would copy that page over and over again and hand it out. And then they'd get another page, and they'd do that until they collected a few pages, and boy, that would be just awesome for them. And they'd seek the Lord, and the Lord would teach them himself. And we have trouble coming together in fellowship because of this circumstance or that circumstance. Man, ain't nothing should be more important than fellowshipping with God's people and talking about the things that God has placed in our hearts and our minds and has told us, these words that he's given us, like Gaynold has shared, like Tim has shared, all of us have shared at one time or another, that God loves when his people get together and talk about him and the things that he's done in their lives and the things that he has shown them in their lives, the revelations that he's given them, opens their eyes up to different facets of the Word of God and shows them those new revelations. He loves it when we get together and talk about it. And that's why I encourage you to share what God is showing you, share what God has told you, share the things that God has done in your life. Oh my, man, we could have such a fellowship. I go back 15 years of walking on the streets and witnessing to people, homeless people, but I don't want to take up your time doing that. This is for y'all. This is for y'all. Praise God for all the different things that God has done in each of our lives out here. That, man, we think about. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, this has been many, many years ago, he said, don't you want to just when you get to be a grandpa, this was way back when I was young, he said, don't you want to be when you get to be a grandpa to be able to sit on your front porch and tell your grandchildren the glories that God has done in your life and tell them about the miracles that you've seen God do in your life? Boy, yeah, I do. I do. And I know we all do. We all like to talk about the things and the things that God has shown us and done in our lives, the miracles. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been healed of certain attacks on my body. But praise God for a God that loves us. And you know, we're still some of us are still believing for things in our physical ailments in our bodies. We know we're healed. We keep on believing. We're enduring our faith until we, you know, until this thing comes about. we just believe, don't we? We're believers. And I exhort each one of you to share. It doesn't make any difference how long ago it was or how short ago it was. Just share the things that God has done in your life and put the praise and the glory in his lap. There's nothing we've done. I'm telling you, it ain't nothing I've ever done in my life. I am so amazed when God heals somebody all the time. Shouldn't be. Should be an everyday occurrence. But it's awesome to see God do that and work those things in people's lives. Early on in my Christian walk, I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to see miracles. I want to see your healing power. I want to see people do things that they never thought was possible through you, Lord. And he was very faithful to do that. Amen. I've talked enough. Somebody else talk. Praise God, the hiccups is gone.
Mike, go ahead. Back again. Seems like once I get going, I just seem to, well, no. I just enjoy the fellowship. There's a friend of mine on a conference call here that turned me on to somebody down in Oregon, down for me, south of here, that I've shared many times what happened to me in Nepal at the monastery of Tengwache, or at least close to that at the guest house there, about how it was probably the first time in my life I really just had kind of a visitation from the Lord in those beautiful mountains. Anyway, I touched bases with this gentleman who, during those same years, also met the Lord in a big way there. I guess it was 73, which is probably a little bit later, maybe a couple years. But anyway, I've just been kind of going. His testimony is posted on the web, but I've just been going through the story, and a lot of memories are coming back. We had so many hippies in Nepal during those years. It was just considered the hippie capital of the world. And I saw especially once the Nepali government started cracking down on hippies coming in, they jailed a lot of them. Many that they didn't jail just died in people's, houses or apartments or rooms that they had rented in homes. I don't know why, but people just didn't seem to care. They would just get hepatitis and just be in a room, and there was nobody to help them, and pretty soon they were gone. It was just heartbreaking, all the kinds of things that were happening there. People coming, seeking for truth, and just, taken out. But anyway, this one gentleman I talked to a couple days ago is just as really... He told me about his website and his story, and to think that, one of those truth seekers were actually found the Lord right there. He revealed it himself to this gentleman right there, a few thousand feet above where I was, I guess a couple thousand. Really... such a wonderful thing to hear, the things that happened so many years ago, and yet the Lord was working. I guess I've just been praising the Lord all day about learning about this. And there's so many people that, what stories don't we know about people that have been seeking the Lord, not seeking the Lord, seeking enlightenment, and seeking all these things. And yet they finally cry out to the Lord, and the Lord reveals himself to them, and it's just... it's so wonderful. So there is, I guess there's just something in us that rejoices when we hear of people that the Lord has brought to himself and filled them up with his spirit and used them in a mighty way, So it's, praise God.
Amen. Yep, there's a lot of them out there, truth seekers, looking for that light. Okay, anybody else would like to share?
Somebody that's on my heart that I wondered if we could pray for, and I don't know where he's at. He was working with Roy, helping him interpret dreams and visions and whatnot. Philippe from Paris, France. And he was on was with the ministry for a while. But I've lost contact with him, and you know, I don't know if maybe he went with Rory and the others at that time. But he's been on my heart because he went through very similar things as this other gentleman that was in Nepal when I was there.
Yeah, so, go ahead, Malcolm.
Lord, I just pray for Philippe. Lord, I pray that he's among your elect. My heart's just aching for him, and I just pray that wherever he is, whatever his situation he's in, Lord, that you will be not just the author, but the finisher of his faith, Lord, your faith that you put in him. But I just pray that you will put it in our hearts to just intercede and be intercessors for your kingdom. Let us not slack off. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Has any of you ever seen this this list, September 2015, dates of significance?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you seen that, Slade?
Yes, sir, I keep up with all that stuff.
Oh, you do?
In my spare time.
Well, it was sent to me, and it says, Seal Man's final warning is now he goes silent. It's kind of interesting. It kind of, but there's some stuff on it that we don't even need to read. It says, September 2015, dates of significance. Rabbi Chaim Kanivsky stated that the Messiah, Antichrist, will be returning at the end of the sabbatical year, which is the 29th day of Elul, which falls on Saturday, September the 12th. Number two, the Madonna concert, Washington, D.C., Verizon Center. Opening theme is Desecration of the Bride and Arrival of Fallen Angels on September the 12th. Boy, that's got to be. Judgment's coming to that place. Number three, this is a Shemitah year. The final date of this seven-year cycle ends around September the 13th. We've all heard about Shemitah, that's Jubilee. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Jewish New Year, the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve, sounding the shofar September the 13th through the evening of the 15th. On September the 14th, it begins the 5776 Anno Lucis, the year of Lucifer. UN resolution for Palestine to become a state, September the 15th. That's when they vote on it. Or that's when the UN comes. I think they vote on it on the 23rd. Jade Helm 15, which began on July 15, publicly ends on September the 15th. Now, they're mentioning Madonna concert, New York Madison Square Garden, opening thing, Desecration of the Bride, and Arrival of Fallen Angels, September the 16th and 17th. 9, International Day of Peace, Peace of Safety. Note, the Day of Atonement begins just hours after the International Day of Peace is completed. Sudden destruction? Year of Jubilee. The 70th year of Jubilee begins September the 23rd. Number 11, Mecca Pilgrimage, Hajj, Day of Arafat, representing standing of the Day of Resurrection, waiting for judgment and the gates of heaven to open, September 22nd through the 23rd. I can't pronounce this, Feast of Sacrifice, Muslim time of sacrifice, September the 23rd through the 26th. It says, note, in 2016, the Muslim Feast of Sacrifice, the Eve falls on September the 11th. June 7th, 1967, falls in the Hebrew year 5727, adding 49 prophetic years to this date. we arrive on the Hebrew year 5776, which is 2015 on the Gregorian calendar. And if one counts exactly 49 360-day prophetic years, that's 17,640 days from June the 7th, 1967, date of Jerusalem recapture, we arrive at September the 23rd, 2015, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And it says, note, the Day of Atonement is on the 266th day of 2015. 266 days is the earliest a woman's pregnancy is considered full term. Note, the Pope was elected on March 14, 2014. It is exactly 923 or 9 slant 23 days from this date to September the 23rd, 2015. Well, that's interesting. Some more stuff. It doesn't really amount to much.
So, Michael?
Hey.
So you're saying that September is going to be a pretty hot month, huh?
Well, that's what it looks like. It looks like a lot of things are going to happen then. And if you know anything about past history of when countries came against Israel and voted for splitting Jerusalem and Israel, that judgment came within 24 hours. So look for it. I think some things may happen before then. Don't know that, but, you know, I just, from dreams and prophecies we've seen, we could see a lot of things happening before that.
What's the title for that you just read off, all the 2015 stuff?
It came off of, let me think, let me look here and see. And Seal Man's Final Warning, Seal, S-E-A-L, Man, I don't know who that is. As now he goes silent. September 2015, dates of significance. I think
Michael,
that
yeah. It's on a Quail's alert section.
Oh, okay. Well, that really puts a stamp of approval on it. It came from his side. Just tongue in cheek there. Yeah. Steve Quail's side, I guess, Bart, a lot of things it looks like are lining up for September for sure. The biggest thing in my estimation is the UN resolution to split Israel and Jerusalem into a two-nation entity. If that happens, look for it. It's coming.
I remember, let's see, there was a on the website, there was an article from some guy talking about, looking in the past, how any time Israel was messed with, the involved country kind of paid for it. And there was a window of time of about, maybe 6 months or a year, and I would periodically check the White House press briefing. I think it was in the previous administration. And if something would happen either here or elsewhere of note in the news, I would check that site to see, you know, if there was any correlation. And it was it was remarkable the number of things that came up that were that happened. Weather-wise here, after something involving Israel was brought up, and during a period of time where there was kind of a thrust to kind of push the roadmap for peace, it was as it was called at that time, and the intermittent events that would kind of push that along. I saw things happen where, boy, it was like, you know, within a day or two that the weather event that I saw on the news had occurred. And I remember one time when even Britain kind of suffered when their previous Prime Minister went to do something in regards to that involving Israel, but to another country. And I think his plane went from, not from Britain, but from a tangent country, and then right as it was taking off and leaving on its flight to go to a more in earnest kind of a meeting, kind of a not necessarily a summit, but a meeting of the governmental heads, you know, in some capacity, how there was a town in Britain that experienced like 60-year record flooding. But the biggest one was when I remembered when they were clearing out all the Israeli settlements out of Palestine, and using the Israeli military to do it. And I thought in the back of my head, oh man, if there was ever a situation where some kind of a response or a reaction that would come from God that would really put the exclamation point on messing with Israel not being a good thing, it would have been that one. And that was when Katrina was brewing in the Gulf, crossing over Florida and then becoming a Cat 5 before, through God's mercy, weakening to a 3 before slamming into New Orleans. But I remember that time where I haven't kept up on it, but there was a window of time where just some sharp events that would happen here would be within a day or two of something happening that you could point at having to do with governmental involvement with doing something with Israel.
Well, the last big one was Fukushima and Chile, where that tsunami hit there in Japan, an earthquake. That was after they had agreed to and given money, pledged money for the Palestinians, both Chile and Japan. And within 24 hours, that thing struck them. I forget what what they did, but it was something to do with Israel, and the Palestinians.
And there was a lot of money involved too, I faintly recall.
Yeah, they had pledged a lot of money.
You know, I think there's a lot of things being tied together here all at once. I watched a video today with Ephraim Rodriguez. I did some more searching on some of that stuff. And he was talking about this asteroid going to be hitting around Puerto Rico. And he said at that point, that's when God's going to actually be visiting. The reason why I said that is because he said when this asteroid hits close to Puerto Rico, it's going to cause a Richter 12 on the earthquake scale, because it's going to cause an earthquake in that area because it's right in the fault zone in the ocean. And it's going to be at a 12, a Richter of 12. And that's actually, he said, is going to represent God being on the scene. That's his governance. He's going to be here. And that might tie in with the Shemitah. It might tie in the Jubilee. It might tie in all at the same time when the UN votes on giving, making Israel say you got to give up land for peace and making that a covenant with many. I mean, it all might tie in at one time. You see this hit, and then you'll see Puerto Rico struck with a tsunami and the earthquake. You'll see the East Coast flooded and maybe Florida flooded. I'm not saying this could be happening all at once, but possibility. I mean. So it's a lot of stuff could just be one time, quick show. The Lord, that he's making that appearance, and this is how he's going to show himself. He's not happy with the way things are going. I don't know. I just throwing that out there.
Gil Brashard, that Louisiana astronomer actually does it. He's not an astronomer, but he's kind of self-taught. He's saying that that thing is going on the underside of the sun by the end of this month. Well, we're at the end of this month. And, you know, that thing is dragging a lot of trash with it, according to what he's talking about. I don't know, eight, you know, it's miles and miles and miles and nothing but comets and meteors and things like that. So, you know, what would happen if, you know, some of that stuff came down and hit the ocean, causing a tsunami? I think he said that tsunami that was supposed to hit off the coast of Puerto Rico would cause a tidal wave on the tip of Florida down there 300 feet high and go all the way up the coast and over into the Gulf as well. So, but we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, do we? Because we're in the Ark of Christ. And when we're in the Ark of Christ, we don't worry about that kind of stuff. Praise God. Yeah, it's interesting to see what the prophecies are. Our biggest job, of course, is to abide in Christ and to keep our nose in the Word and keep on believing the Word. We believe the Word and keep practicing our faith on certain aspects of, you know, some of you out there might be low of cash. Well, just believe God for it. Might be low of cash to buy gas to go to work. Believe God for it. Just don't put God in a box and he can't do it what you think he can do. God can do anything. He made you. If he made you, he can do anything. Praise God. He made this universe and he can do anything. And he stopped the universe to help Joshua out for 12 hours or whatever it was. Stopped the whole universe. Now, if he can do that, he can take care of our little old stuff. I was reading about that today. That's an awesome, awesome testimony to God's love for us. Joshua knew his authority in Christ. He knew his authority. He knew he had dominion. He declared it. He commanded it to stop. And it stopped. He told the sun to stop where it was and the moon to stop where it was. And it did. Because God honored that faithful man. He honored Joshua. And he'll honor us too in the same way. He's no respecter of person. I'm not saying that we're going to have to do that. We're not going to be fighting wars like he was. We're going to be fighting spiritual wars, of course. But God can do anything and will do anything. All we have to do is have faith. And act on that faith by speaking it and believing it. Praise God for the faith. And you know, the great thing about that is that God gives us the faith that we need to believe whatever it is we need to believe for. Praise God. That's the great thing about it. In Psalms 8 and 6, he says, "Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." What does all leave out? It don't leave nothing out. It doesn't leave anything out. God has given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And that word authority gives us the right to use the power of God. God's going to back you up, folks. Going to back us all up. He said, "The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life," in John chapter 6. So whatever you speak out your mouth, God's going to honor it. We're studying this, "The Tongue Conquers the Curse," in our Wednesday morning Bible studies. And I'm telling you what, it set us on fire, man. I'm telling you, this is some awesome stuff. It seems like every book we get into is awesome stuff. I know, but it all is. It's all the Word of God. And so we need to start speaking those things as though they were. Those things that are not as though they were. listen to this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. You know, if we have eyes to see, we can partake of God's nature. We'll have that spiritual eye, those spiritual ears, that spiritual touch, and that spiritual smell or discernment. We'll have all of those spiritual gifts that enable that spiritual man to take over and to walk by the Spirit, won't we? All we have to do is just believe God's word. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Praise God for all these words, this word that he's given us. Here's another one that David calls this the gospel, and I believe it too. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And this is where faith comes in. This is where faith kicks in from God himself. He said, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. And when you got eyes, spiritual eyes, you see that. It doesn't make any difference what anybody says to you. Oh, you're just all self-righteous. No, not. I'm just speaking the word here. I'm looking at Jesus in there. I'm looking at Jesus every time I go by the mirror. Oh, look at that. There's Jesus. Praise God. You have to. You speak it and it'll happen.
Michael,
you see. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking he also turned back the sundial, you know, and he'll turn back time for us when needed.
Oh, absolutely. He'll do anything we need. If his gospel has to go out, and it does, and he needs us to do it, he'll see that we get it done. All we have to do is when those obstacles come in front of us, look at there. There's a mountain. God said that all I got to do is have the faith of a mustard seed, and that mountain's got to get out the way. And it'll get out of the way. I'm telling you, it'll go. It'll melt right in front of your eye, and you'll walk right on through there and go and do what God asked you to do. That's our God. That's the God that we serve. He's going to make sure that his disciples get the work done. He's going to make sure that we're going to be matured. He's going to make sure that each and every one of us, if we're faithful, if we're striving for that high calling that God has put in front of us, he's going to make sure we get there. Praise God. Exciting times, folks. Some of the most exciting times in the history of mankind. Well, it is the most exciting times coming up ahead of us here. And I exhort and encourage each one of you to get in the Word and find out for yourself. Place that Word in you. Renew your mind with the Word of God. That helps. And I'll tell you something else. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Pray in the Spirit a lot. When you're in your prayer closet, pray in the Spirit. That edifies yourself. That builds your faith up inside yourself and gets you to that point to where you'll believe God for anything, any and everything that happens. You won't have to worry about those little, won't be murmuring around, well, boy, this is in front of me. This is in front of me. I have to worry about that. I can't do this cause this. No, you can do anything in Christ. When you've got Christ on your side, there ain't no obstacle, nothing too big for you to overcome. I don't care what it is. It makes no never mind, as the old boy said. God is bigger than anything out there that comes up in front of you. Don't allow the enemy to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Don't allow that enemy to do that. If you allow the enemy to win those battles, then what you going to do when the real battles come? Just saying. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for tonight's testimonies. I thank you so much for tonight's exhortations and encouragements, Lord, from everybody. And Lord, it's just been an awesome time with you. And I just praise you, Lord, for your word. Your word has so many promises in there for us, Lord. And not only that, Lord, so much encouragement in there from you, Lord, that you're going to back up what your word says. And I just believe it, and we all believe it, Lord, and we're just looking forward for those walls that jump up in front of us so that we can believe you for them, Lord. Lord, you showed me here just a few years ago, that man called me and said his truck wouldn't go into reverse. What's he supposed to do? He said, the transmission going out of it. I said, put your hand on the dashboard, and Lord, you fixed his transmission for him. I praise you for that, Lord. And all the many other things, Lord, the water leaks that were fixed, just all kinds of things, Lord. And the people we've been praying for, Lord, we can see a difference. We can see a difference. We see you working in there. Even though in the natural it doesn't look like it, Lord, we know. Because we see the trials that they're going through to get their face back towards you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for all the work you're doing and everyone in this fellowship, Lord. And the wisdom that you're giving us and the understanding that you're giving us. And the dreams and the visions of the things to come. Linda, I'm going to have to mute you, honey. Making a little noise there. Praise God for all that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask and I pray for more of you in me and more of you in everybody here tonight, Lord, that you would show yourself to us, Lord, in mighty ways that we can look, oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus doing that. I see that. And Lord, that'd be awesome. That'd be so awesome to see that. I just love it, Lord, when God works in our lives like that, when you work in our lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everybody here that's seeking you for healing, Lord. It's already done 2,000 years ago on the cross. And I praise you, Father, that they're going to endure in their faith to see it through in Jesus' name. We got a few minutes left. Does anybody need prayer or got something else they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yeah.
I was thinking the impossible, of course, is what we have in Christ. We're supernatural. We know that inside of Christ. Gruber, when he was bringing out this fellow that had died and had been dead for 6 days, his stomach was cut completely open. He was brought back to life, and he had been in hell for 6 days. And if that's not God turning back time, I've just never heard of a testimony quite like that before, and I guess we believe it because it's from Gruber, but it sure fits, turning back time. Anyway, that was just on my heart.
Amen. That's the truth. Yeah, I remember the guy in Africa. The preacher that had a wreck, that had an argument with his wife just before the wreck.
Mm-hmm. That was about 4 days, though, wasn't it? 3 or 4?
I don't remember. No, it seemed like it was, I don't know. Anyway, he had already been embalmed.
Yes, and he went to hell, too.
Yeah, he went to hell. He found out real quick that he didn't need to mess up no more, didn't he? when he came back, he said that even when he felt something rising up inside of him, against his wife or anybody, he'd run to the bathroom and ask the Lord forgiveness. That's how much hell scared him. The fear of God was all over him. And I tell you what, I pray that on each one of us, that we would all get that fear of God, that we don't want to have any bitterness or anger in our hearts against anyone at any time in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're going to bring that to our memory. We just got through with the curse of unforgiveness.
Oh, I bet that.
Well, that's a good one. It showed us that anger is unforgiveness, that judgment is unforgiveness, critical thinking is unforgiveness in your heart. You don't need any of that. Jesus didn't have it. We don't need it. Get rid of it. It'll send you to hell. Ask the Lord to get it out of your heart.
I was thinking how it worked for good for him to go to hell. You know, since he came back, and he was a good boy, you know, with his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But just think of those two cases. I mean, talk about the impossible and turning back time.
Well, absolutely. Howard Pittman, a Baptist preacher, thought he was everything that God wanted, you know.
I know it.
Building buildings and all of that stuff. And he went up there and the Lord told him, you have consigned yourself to hell, boy.
Yeah, you know? Gave him another chance.
Gave him another chance to come back up here and tell him, get out of that mess.
Awesome testimony.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us.
Yes.
I just praise you, Father, for what
help us
is coming. Lord, is going to be something that it will open up the people's eyes that we've been praying for, Lord, and they're going to come running to that light that we've given them. And they're going to be asking questions, the right questions, like, what am I got to do? And Lord, you're going to put the words in our mouth to tell them what to do. And that's repent. Drop down on your knees and ask the Lord forgiveness and repent and come to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for an awesome night. Father, we just ask for dreams and visions in everybody tonight. Dreams that everyone would be able to declare Thursday night, Lord, and say, hey, look, here's what the Lord's showing me. Here's what the Lord told me. Lord, we just thank you that Thursday night is going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, protect us, provide for us, lead us, guard our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And we praise you, Father, for the things you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Good night, saints. God bless.